Gut Goddess Show, a weekly podcast to help you create one happier, flatter, and more joyful belly and life. And I'm your host, Kezia Hall, a holistic nutritionist and all-round nutrition and poo and periods and hormone geek. And currently, I'm sporting quite the attractive pregnancy waddle. It really is something to behold as I just waddle down the road for my daily walk. Welcome to episode 18 of the Gut Goddess Show. I'm so glad that you're here. And today we're talking about a hot topic, a topic that, you know, is inevitably going to cause some sort of controversy, and that's weight loss. Because I realised, by gum, we haven't talked about this on the show. So I'm going to be sharing with you my views on weight loss, on self-love, on the best ways to lose weight, my thoughts on the body positivity movement that is happening across the world that is so brilliant. Because I find with my clients, a lot of the time they come to me and they really want to sort out their bodies, their health. They want to, you know, they want to pursue health. They want to create a healthy life, but they actually also want to lose weight and they feel a bit bad about doing that. And they're not really too sure how to do it. Because the only model people have been given for weight loss is you join a weight loss club, you count your calories, and you eat less calories and exercise more. That's the general model we get given. And people find that that doesn't work for them. And they know that they want to lose weight. They know that the weight that isn't them at their best or truest self. They know that they, you know, that their weight might be contributing to their risk of diabetes or to their joint pain in their knees or to their ability to be fit and chase after their kids, whatever it is. But they feel really stuck because they don't want to get sucked into dieting. But there's this core desire to be a bit slimmer. And they're not even too sure if that is really a desire that they want to lose weight or if it's just what Instagram and culture has told them. And then often women come to me and we have this conversation and they're in a bit of a confusing hot mess. So that's basically what I'm going to talk about today in this solo show. But before we kick off with that, I'm going to give you a couple of just like life updates from me. So apologies for my nasalness. It is super hay fevery right now. And I just woke up basically looking like I was stoned because my eyes were so puffy and I'm so snotty and it's, you know, and I'm pregnant and you're not meant to take loads of stuff. So, you know, if you could see me right now, you know, I'm looking like hot stuff, ready to go, all swollen up. I'm also hiding in my dad's office because we've got some building work going on in our house that is, I didn't quite expect how much chaos it was going to create in the house. So the house is filled with dust, which is also not helping with my puffy kind of, you know, aesthetic that's going on in my face. So I'm just hiding away, but I have just gotten back from holiday. So I was in Turkey for 10 days with my favorite man, Joe, slash husband, slash man of dreams, slash the person that keeps me sane, slash expert dishwasher. And that was lovely. It was our first like packaged holiday. We've never done like a packaged holiday before or like an all-inclusive holiday. Our holidays tend to be more like traveling adventures. We'll tend to use Airbnb quite a lot and we'll travel around, have some adventures, not necessarily go to places where it's all inclusive, but with being pregnant and with being so sick this year, basically with being pregnant, I was like, I literally don't want to think about a thing. I don't want to think about food. I literally want to be taken care of. That's what I wanted. And this holiday was definitely that. I just lay by the sea, ate loads of really nice food. They had chia puddings there. They had fresh green juice, fresh smoothies. They had homemade gluten-free bread that was so delicious. They had fish. It was just such a Kezia place to go on holiday. And the sea was really lovely and it was really hot and it was really quiet. I went to an adults-only resort because I figured, you know, come September time and probably for the next 15 years, probably not going to be going to adult-only resorts on our holidays. It's going to be all about slides and mini golf. I don't know. So that was really lovely. And now I am back to normal life. I'm getting things ready here at Supernaturally Healthy for maternity leave, which isn't going to be happening for a good couple of months. But it takes quite a lot of work to get things ready. And my hope is that this podcast is still going to continue all through my maternity leave. So you guys really won't notice much difference. And in future episodes, I'll probably just record podcasts with hopefully a baby wrapped to me. So future episodes, we'll probably have a permanent guest of whoever our child is. But it's, you know, this is real life. There's nothing polished about this podcast, if you haven't noticed. So I'm just prepping all of that. I've got my membership community where I do monthly, that's my group coaching program called Nourish, where I do monthly meal plans, seasonal recipes, group coaching, all of that stuff. So I'm prepping all of that for the rest of the year. And so it's all go here, I have to say. And also excitingly, I want to let you know, before we dive in and talk about all things weight loss, body positivity, self-love, I want to let you know something really, really exciting. I am running at the end of this month, so beginning on the 27th of June, I'm running my Beat the Bloat workshop. And in this workshop, I'm actually going to be sharing with you some completely new training all around what I'm calling kind of the Nourish methodology, which is my four kind of pillar or four part system that really is going to help you create lasting health, help you create a happier and flatter belly, and actually help you lose weight if that's something that you want to do in a really sensible, normal, non-weird way. And the weight loss actually is part of this methodology. It's kind of the byproduct, which is what we're going to talk about today. But the Beat the Bloat workshop, it's going to be a completely free training workshop. It's going to be about an hour and a half. I'm going to go properly deep into these four different pillars. And these are the things that I base my Nourish membership around, that I talk to all my clients one-to-one about. And what I'm going to do is do this workshop over a period of 5 days. So there's going to be lots of different time slots available, some during the day, some in the evening. So you're bound to find a slot that works for you. And what I'm going to do is share with you this super practical training. And if you've not been on one of these like free training workshops with me, I am super practical. I give you clear action points. This isn't just like me talking about myself. It really is an equipping, teaching, training workshop. And if you implement even just half of what I'm going to be talking about in this Beat the Bloat workshop, you will see real results. Like, I'm not sharing with you fluff on this stuff. I'm going to be sharing with you some really good kick-ass information that if you feel stuck being bloated, if you feel stuck with your energy or really struggling to create healthy habits that last, you're really struggling maybe to lose a bit of weight, or you feel like your gut health is just a bit buggered in some way, then this is the workshop for you. I'm going to really go into all the different pillars, which are all there's body love, food love, hormonal love, and gut love. Those are the four pillars. It's all rooted in love, but also in biochemistry and nutritional science. And I'm really, really excited for it. So the first workshop kicks off on Wednesday, the 27th of June at 8 p.m. And to join, head to the show notes and you can see the link there, or go to supernaturallyhealthy.org/WP/bloat, or just head to my website, or if you're not subscribed onto my list, then get onto my list by heading to supernaturallyhealthy.org. But all the resources to join will be in the show notes. Otherwise, head to supernaturallyhealthy.org/WP/bloat and you can sign up there. And I would love to see you there. It's going to be so much fun. I'm so excited. I love teaching workshops, and I always get great feedback from people who come and show up live. And I would say, if you can't make Wednesday the 27th of June, there will be recordings for the workshop, and there is two additional dates and times. One of them is on Saturday at 10 a.m. So if during the week doesn't work for you, that's fine. And then another one is during the day. So if you maybe have kids or you work shifts, then there's going to be a time that suits you. And if not, you can check the recording. And you can come to all three workshops if you want and become the Beat the Bloat expert, whatever works. So I'd love to see you there. But otherwise, let's get on with today's show. So, weight loss. It's a juicy/controversial topic. It's quite an emotional topic. It's something that we can get our heads stuck up our ass about. And it can be really confusing. I think that's why I wanted to talk about it. I think of all the areas of health and nutrition, the one of weight loss can be the most confusing because you've probably been told a million bits of information. You probably maybe tried lots of different things. You have lots of different things going around in your head. So you think you need to exercise and eat less calories, but you also want to love your body. And then there's also health issues. And then do you do a diet club? And do you count sins? Or do you count points? Do you count calories? Do you count macronutrients? Do you join a club? Do you just exercise more? Do you take, weight loss teas or supplements to help with that? You know, then you get into all the more extreme interventions like gastric bypasses and all of these kinds of things. And it really is a big topic. So I kind of see today's episode as a bit of a part one. So I'm not going to dive into every single thing to do with weight loss. I'll probably do a couple more on this, actually, because I think there's lots of different things that I want to address, lots of different myths out there, lots of different things that we need to know about as women and when it comes to our bodies and when it comes to our weight. And so today I really want to focus on weight loss and this idea of self-love and also give you my perspective and the potential dangers actually of this kind of body positivity movement from a kind of holistic nutrition point of view. Because I think that, again, it can get a bit confusing. So I've chatted to lots of clients that maybe come to me, and in our first session, the first session with me is often a long kind of hour and a half session, and we really dive in deep. I ask lots of questions. I want to find out your main aims, your health histories, the health of your parents, your grandparents, your siblings, your teeth, all this stuff, your pee, your poo, everything. And often people will say at the end, oh, and, you know, I would really like to lose weight, as kind of this confession. They often maybe feel a bit bad about it because they know they actually, you know, that health is more important than weight loss. And they feel a little bit bad, but they actually maybe are a couple of stone overweight, or maybe several, you know, maybe 4, 5, 6 stone overweight. And they know they would feel better if they lost weight. They know maybe their knee pain or their back issues or whatever are kind of being exacerbated by the excess weight that they're carrying. And there's this contention, there's this tension there of they actually do want to lose weight. They don't want to get sucked into this dieting, faddy mentality. But they do actually want to see a shift. But they don't know how to pursue that without just following this old model of calories in, calories out, eating processed foods, low fat foods, you know, all the stuff that we've been told growing up in dieting clubs. And I think that's it makes me really sad, actually, because women are just left feeling powerless around this. And I 100% think and believe that health is the most important thing to pursue. But when you really do pursue true health, that your body will regulate its weight naturally. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to lose weight when you have the healthy mindset and a healthy approach. There's nothing wrong with you wanting to lose weight. You know, I'm currently, this is ironic me recording these, I'm currently gaining weight steadily, being pregnant. I'm now in nearly my third trimester. So third trimester kind of tends to all be about weight gain. And I'm super hungry. But I can imagine maybe in a year's time, once, you know, all the chaos of having a baby dies down, that I might want to lose weight. You know, if I put on a lot of weight, if it doesn't come off naturally just through me eating the way that I eat and living the life that I live, which I imagine it probably will do. But because I have thyroid issues, it might, you know, it might need a little bit more help coming off. And that's okay. So first thing I want to say is if you do want to lose weight, and you kind of feel bad about it, you keep on swinging between these different things, I want to say it's okay to have that desire. It's okay to want the things that you want. And the most important thing is to really do some of the deeper work to figure out what's driving that desire. But if that's a genuine desire you have, then it's okay. But it's not, but weight loss is often not healthy when it is the primary driving force of our choices. I think weight loss gets toxic and unhelpful when it becomes the only focus, when actually we disregard our health and general well-being. But I think as part of a bigger picture, of pursuing a healthy life and healing your body, I think part of that can be healthy weight loss, and there is nothing wrong with that. So that's the first thing. The next thing is, I thought I'd give you a bit of a history with my own sort of sordid history with losing weight, which has been interesting. So I joined my first diet club, which was Slimming World, when I was, I think, about 11, because I was overweight as a child, probably about 3 stone overweight. And I'd grown by that point. I'd hit puberty really early because I think probably my hormones were so weird from a young age. And, you know, I was, you know, 5'6" or 5'7" and I'm only 5'8" now. So it's, you know, I'd done a lot of my growing and I was still overweight. So I joined Slimmer's World with my mum because they had a kind of a children's aspect of that that you could do. And so that was my first sort of education into the world of dieting. So I've grown up literally embedded into what could be called dieting culture. And I don't really want to diss lots of these clubs out there. I'm not interested in spending my energy on that. And there was lots of positive things that I learned about food, you know, things like fruit and vegetables were good to eat. I honestly didn't know that before I joined Slimming World and they told me to eat more fruit and vegetables, which was surprising at the time. I mean, why couldn't I just eat my Bounty bars and ice cream Mars bars? Literally, we had no clue. And then that began my journey of, you know, weekly meetings, weekly weigh-ins, losing weight. And I did lose weight following that plan or that program, counting sins or, you know, all of that sort of stuff. But my health actually declined in the process. And from a mindset point of view, it did create in me a slightly disordered approach to food, and a very obsessive approach to what I was eating, when I was eating, how much I was eating compared to other people. And it did create a kind of binge mentality, this on, off, on the wagon, off the wagon, a good day, a bad day, I'd been good, I've been bad. It did create all of these negative associations with food that really took right probably until my early to mid 20s for me to really break free from, actually, from a mindset and a habit point of view. It just created in me a lot of obsession about what I was eating. I was a bit obsessed about how much I was eating compared to the person next to me. Was I eating too much? And then were they going to think that's why I was so fat, because I've eaten more than them? And how, and you know, if, you know, I had a slice of cake at lunchtime, then I may as well just binge on loads of chocolate and beer and wine in the evening, because what's the point? Because I've just, you know, that whole sort of spiraling, binging mentality was very much something I lived in probably for the first, for a good 10, 12 years of my life. So this is something I feel like I know, I've definitely experienced in just growing up, and it's taken a lot of intention actually to unpick the dieting ways and unpick this kind of dieting culture that's really been embedded into my development of food, counting what you eat, food being good, food being bad. Having, you know, the days before you'd weigh in, you'd be really good. And then after you've weighed in, you'd go to the chip shop or drive through McDonald's. And, it, the pursuit back then was never about my health. So my health actually declined. My relationship with food declined. I did lose some weight. But my bowels got worse. I ended up with chronic diarrhea, and some depression and really bad cramping, bad IBS, all of those kinds of things. That all those things got worse, even though I was losing weight, because health really wasn't my priority. I was focused about getting to my goal weight, which at the time was 10 stone for some reason. And that was the main focus and the most important thing. And I would do that whatever the cost, which that in itself is a really dangerous mentality and really, really toxic to have. So that's my little history with weight. And then probably the last 10 years, well, probably less than that, 8 years now, has really been about creating a healthy relationship with food, a mindful relationship with food, eating in a way that is, it's really about my life, actually. I'm not on a diet. I'm not on a program. I've created, and I seek to create, a healthy life. There's no good or bad food. I'm not on or off some wagon. I'm not counting things. I don't count calories. I don't count macronutrients. I don't count any of these things. I listen to my body. And my primary focus when it comes to food is healing my body. It's giving me the food that's going to make me feel awesome. And then as a secondary thing, it's also about eating the food that is optimal for me at my ideal weight. So my body's ideal weight wasn't 10 stone. It was just too difficult to get to that point, required too much restriction and a really disordered approach for food for me. And it made my hormones a little bit weird. So it's also been embracing that actually my slim and healthy weight is probably more about 11 stone pre-pregnancy. I have no idea what I am now. And that has been a bit of a process and a journey, that my healthy weight isn't the weight that I wanted it to be. And I find that a lot with clients, especially when they are wanting to sort out hormones, especially, or other health issues, is sometimes we need to actually, the weight that our body is healthiest at isn't the weight we want it to be. And that requires some acceptance, requires us processing that emotion. I remember spending a good period of time being a bit pissed off at the fact that I couldn't be size whatever and 10 stone, and I wasn't naturally one of these waif like people. You know, I wasn't naturally the size of a supermodel, and that took a bit of processing. So that's my sort of history when it comes to weight. And the things that I want to talk about today are probably about the four sort of different points. Four different areas that I really want to talk on, because I feel like they're quite, they are really relevant to stuff that I keep on seeing on Instagram and just within our culture and within social media and what people ask me about when it comes to weight loss, all of these kind of things. So first thing I want to look at is this kind of question is being overweight or obese bad? You know, what is the health impact of our weight on our health? And this is, I think, probably a more in-depth topic in terms of, you know, if I was actually wanting to analyze a lot of the research and literature with you, this could go on for quite a while. So I'm just going to give a bit of a synopsis in my view, really, on this. And I think it is really mixed. I think generally, in terms of our history and the messages I've been told growing up, is that being overweight and obese has... If people are in that way, they've been blamed, they've been shamed, they've been told it's their fault, and often being overweight just is, you know, people will, if someone comes in with a health issue or something along those lines and you're overweight, then it just gets blamed on being overweight. And it's kind of used as this excuse to not really look at the problem, not really look at the issue, and not really listen. I think there's been a lot of discrimination against people that are overweight and obese because people just automatically judge that they're lazy, fat, and greedy. And I think that is horrendous. I think that is so unfair, and I think it's really prejudiced and discriminatory. And I think that's how, definitely a culture I've grown up in, and it's still now. You know, if you're overweight and you go to the doctors and maybe you have back pain, then they might just say to you, you need to lose weight. And it's not to say that that might not contribute, but you still should be treated equally, and a thorough workup and investigation should be done. So I think our culture does shame people who are overweight and obese, and I think that is horrendous. And people judge automatically those who are maybe overweight, or especially very overweight and in the obese or very obese category. And there's just an automatic judgment that they are greedy, that they are lazy, that they don't care about their health. And I, in general, find that not to be the case. People that I know that maybe are very overweight, or clients I've worked with that come to me and maybe 5 stone overweight, they're not lazy. They are not greedy. They're often eating really, really well. And there is genuine health issues going on that are affecting their weight. So that's a really, really important aspect. And that's something I really am excited to see change. I see it slowly changing in our culture, is when, you know, through the body positivity movement, actually loads of women of all different shapes, sizes, colors, abilities, whatever it is, genders, whatever, are all actually coming forward. And we are slowly unpicking this judgment and this harshness that we have of judging each other by how we look, because I think that is truly, truly toxic. But when it comes to the actual kind of practical health impact of our weight on our bodies, that is a conversation that is worth having, actually, and not something we want to ignore, stick our heads in the sand about, nor is it something that we want to use to blame, to beat ourselves up with, to beat other people up with. I think it's just important information to be aware of. Now, I think a lot of the time people's weight gets blamed for lots of things that, to be fair, I'm not too sure we actually see a lot of research in terms of it impacting. But we do know from research does impact a couple of really big health issues. And those are the things I'm just going to highlight with that. And before we do that, it's worth explaining and just pointing out that the fat that we have on our bodies, any, you know, just the fat in general, whatever size you are, whether you have like 18% body fat or like 35, whatever it is, fat isn't passive. It's, you don't just have lumps of fat, say with me, with my love handles, that just sits there and does nothing. Actually, fat in itself can be become a bit like an organ. It can produce its own hormones. It actually has an active role in the body. It's not this just, it is storage of energy, but it is not just that. It also actually impacts the body's biochemistry. It does things. I like to think of it as a bit of an organ. So if you have quite an excess of fat, then you're going to have quite this large, almost additional organ that really can play a role in terms of your hormonal health, so your endocrine system, and lots of other aspects in the body. So I think that's really worth pointing out, because I know for me, we just tend to think about fat as being sort of aesthetic, and we just think it's just storage and it just sits there and does nothing, whereas actually fat isn't, it's not passive. The excess fat we have in the body does play a role. It does contribute to our biochemistry. It does contribute to the whole functioning of our body, because our whole bodies are connected. So that's kind of to underpin the foundation, and I suppose it helps me anyway to think about how this idea of why maybe excess weight does impact our health. So a couple of the areas that we do know that are impacted by our weight through different research, or a couple of the big sort of like the big hitters out there. So things like certain cancers. Again, not all cancer. There's often, from the research I've looked at, there's some specific cancers that actually are quite massively impacted by people's size and weight. So, and then there's certain cancers that maybe aren't so much. So I think things like thyroid cancer, and I think maybe prostate cancer, I don't have the research paper in front of me, that maybe aren't so much impacted. And then there is other cancers that we can see through correlation and different research that they do have a big impact. So cancer is definitely something, and especially if you look at some of the more hormone-based cancers, so say breast cancers and these other things, it makes sense if excess fat is disrupting and contributing to our endocrine system, you can then start to begin to see how it may contribute to this kind of hormonal disruption, which can then contribute to certain cancers and this kind of out of control mutation of cells, which is a really basic definition of what cancer could be. So we know from that there is certain cancers, again, not all cancers, that our risk factor does go up when it comes to our weight. And then things like diabetes, there's a bit of mixed research around that. So being overweight it's not the primary cause of becoming diabetic, but it is a contributing factor. But obviously you'll probably know very slim people that get type 2 diabetes, and not every overweight person has type 2 diabetes. So it is not the only factor, but it is one of the many contributing factors that could increase your risk of diabetes. And often if you are pre-diabetic or you develop type 2 diabetes and you are overweight and especially obese, often if you can lose weight, then you can actually manage that condition really quite well. But again, you'll know people that are seemingly at a healthy weight and have maybe developed type 2 diabetes. So it is not the only factor. And I think there's some confusion around that, because if it was just, you know, if everything was about weight, then every single person who was obese would have the same health issues. and they don't, because we're all individual, our bodies are all different, you know, our genetics play a role, our lifestyles play a role, our stress levels, all of these different things, our nutrient depletions, and all of these different things play a role. So it's really not all about weight. But we also know from research things like cardiovascular disease, and some of the main killers are impacted by our health. So the reason I talk about this, I know it's not the most comfortable of things to discuss, but I do find that a lot of what's happening in social media and happening in the body positivity movement is people celebrating their bodies, which is so good and so needed. So please hear me properly. But actually, you know, almost encouraging people to stay and be unhealthy, actually, and increase their risk of certain really life-threatening issues. And if you are obese or are very obese, there is a high chance, and your risk factors for several really big issues and health issues does increase. Now, that doesn't mean to say that I 100% think that there is people who can be several stone overweight, so say 5 or 6 stone overweight, and actually be really healthy. I know them, I've had clients, they've had all the blood tests done, they've had all the workups done, their cholesterol's healthy, their heart's healthy, their body is healthy, and, you know, maybe they are about 5 or 6 stone officially overweight, but they are healthy, and that 100% can be the case. But in general, that's not always the case, because excess fat on the body is often a sign of inflammation, and it's a sign of lots of other things going on, and can be a sign of lots of other things going on. So this really, it really boils down to the whole thing that I talk about a lot of, just that everyone is different. You know, you might be 4 stone overweight, and that could be causing you real health issues, increasing your risk of diabetes, especially if there's a family history. It might be impacting your joints, might be contributing to a hormonal imbalance, so that, you know, contributing to excess estrogen and insulin management issues and all of these kinds of things. And then there could be another person, another woman comes to me who weighs the same as you, is the same height as you, and doesn't have any of those risk factors and is actually really, really healthy when we do a workup on it. And her excess weight isn't impacting her hormones, it isn't impacting her joints, and she is doing really well. So this isn't a one size fits all, but I do have a problem with some of the messaging that I've seen of just be whatever size, it doesn't matter what size you are, that doesn't matter, just love yourself and it will all be fine. But with some people, they do need to face the reality, yep, you can love yourself and you should love your body, but you are contributing to really increased health risks for certain people being at certain weights. And this is more maybe going into the kind of obese and very obese category. But even with some people, even them being a stone overweight could be increase their risks for certain things because of their genetics, because of their history, because of their microbiome, because of all of these different things. You know, it could all be contributing to that. So this really is, it really boils down to our bio-individuality. It really boils down to each of us being beautifully and wonderfully different. And our job is to know about our body. So you might be officially, when you look at the chart, you know, those awful charts that are in the doctor surgery. And I think I'm going to do a whole episode just on BMIs and charts and weight and all of that stuff, because honestly, it does my nut in. But say you go to doctors and on the official chart, you're like 4 stone overweight or something. And that might not be causing you a lot of issues. And that's fine. But for some of you, it is. And to ignore that is potentially to increase your risk of lots of things going on. So it really is a balance, because the question of is being overweight, does it impact your health in a negative way? In some cases, yes, it massively does. And we cannot ignore that research. I was looking at a paper that basically looked at what would happen I think this was a US research paper, that if the average BMI of the country went up by 1. So it's body mass index. I'm not going to go into the accuracy of that actually as a metric, so I'm not 100% sure it's that accurate. But anyway, if as a country, our average increased by 1. So I think it was the BMI was, say, for example, I can't remember off the top of my head, currently is about 28. And say, what impact would that have if that jumped the average BMI of, say, 29 on our rates of a spectrum of different cancers? And the impact on certain cancers was huge, actually, in terms of the just even by increasing the average population weight by a little bit more, the impact that then what that would have on certain types of cancer was, it was really astonishing to see in this chart. And obviously there were certain cancers it didn't impact at all, because a lot of these things depends on the system involved. So it really is a balance. I know that's maybe not super clear cut, because it's one of those things, I really want you to love your body where you are at right now. And no one should ever judge your body. There shouldn't be shame around your body, whatever the size, whatever the scars, whatever the shape, whatever it looks like, whatever the health issues. There is never any need for you to feel embarrassed or ashamed of your body. Your body is beautiful, whatever size it is. You don't need, you know, it's not, I'm not saying thin bodies are beautiful bodies necessarily. All bodies are really, really beautiful. But when we actually look at some of the research and we realize that excess fat isn't just this passive lump of yellowy goo that sticks onto our body, it does play an active role in our body, then we can start to understand why our weight can impact our health, and there can be negative health aspects. And I don't want you just to stick your head in the sand and then end up with something maybe like diabetes, when that's something you potentially have control around. So I hope you hear what I'm saying and you hear what I'm not saying, and know that you are loved. Your body is beautiful. You don't have to lose weight to be worthy. You don't have to lose weight to have a beautiful body. You don't have to lose weight to feel good. You really, really don't. But I from a kind of nutritionist point of view, can't ignore some of the aspects and the biochemical aspects of having excess fat in the body and the impact that that has on your endocrine system, your insulin management, and the results that that can lead to, and that we are seeing in our culture. So it really is a bit of both, actually. Is you've got to love your body where it's at right now, because you can't punish your body into getting results. You really, really can't. But it is worth considering. I think your weight, I always do consider weight and ask my clients about their weight, because sometimes if there is even just a little bit of excess weight, it's just a sign of inflammation in the body. It's a sign that the body is slightly out of balance, because my core belief and what I believe about the body is that a healthy and healed body will find and regulate at its healthy weight. Now, your body's healthy weight might be technically overweight, and that's totally fine. I don't have a problem with that. If your body's healthy, your system, your digestion's good, your hormones good, your energy is good, you're sleeping well, your skin is doing well, if that means you're actually technically, I say in air quotes, a stone or 2 stone overweight, but your body is healthy, then that's what matters. That is your health, and how you feel is what matters most. But I see a lot of people sometimes, in embracing the love of their body, ignoring actually some of the health issues that they have that don't make them feel good. And that is not something that is what I don't want anyone to feel crap. You know, I don't want anyone to feel crap in their body and how they feel. So I hope that makes sense. I hope you've heard what I am saying and what I am not saying. So when it comes to the whole body positivity movement, I essentially love it. I love what is happening now. I deliberately curate my Instagram feed to have a real variety of women that are just loving their body, whatever the shape, whatever the size. I follow a couple of supermodels or that are, you know, quote unquote plus size, which they don't really like that term, because they're just models, you know, they're just beautiful women. I follow different people that are real advocates of body positivity, and I make sure that a lot of what I'm seeing is people of different shapes, different sizes, different colors, different ethnicities, all of these things. And I think that is absolutely brilliant. But my core desire and my mission really here on earth is to help people to be well. And for some people, their weight is contributing to their poor health. Not for everyone, but for some people, their weight can contribute to poor health. And that's something I don't think we can ignore. And I don't think we can ignore some of the risk factors that, and just the biochemistry of excess fat on the body, how that impacts the body. So But in general, I do love the body positivity movement, but there is a part of me that gets a little bit wary on the kind of warning signals go off in my brain when I almost see people being encouraged to just be at a really unhealthy size when I can see from my perspective that it's impacting their health in a negative way. Because I can often tell by people's maybe skin, their eyes, their weight distribution, different, you can often tell by someone quite quickly by looking at them if there is potential health imbalances going on. And I don't want that for anyone. I want people to be healthy and live till like they're 100 and feel awesome. I don't want anyone to get cancer. I don't want anyone to get diabetes. I don't want anyone to have sore joints or a bad back or have skin issues. I want people to feel kick-ass. That's really what this comes down to. So that's my thoughts on the body positivity movement. And so let's move now to, what do you do if you really do just want to lose weight? So say you are a bit like me and you've kind of emerged out of this dieting culture. Maybe you've done Weight Watchers the Slimmer's World, or maybe you got stuck doing like the whole 30 over and over again or whatever it is. And you really do just want to lose weight. You know, what do you do? You know, what do you actually do? I think the first thing is, I think the one of the biggest problems with the dieting industry and this whole topic that we're talking about when it comes to weight is that weight loss has become the primary focus. And I think that weight loss actually can be a secondary or tertiary or kind of last focus. I think it's totally okay to lose weight. It's okay to pursue that and to have that as a goal, but it cannot be your primary focus. For me, for my body, for my clients, for my practice, for everything that I do, my memberships, health is the primary focus. And what I mean by health is not just your physical health, it's your mental health, it's your spiritual health, it's your relational health, it's your personal soul health, it's your body, you know, your body image health. That is the most important thing. And actually pursuing a holistic and really robust health, healthy life, healthy body, healthy mind, healthy relationship with food, healthy relationships in general is the most important thing. And then I think somewhere towards the end of that queue, you can have weight loss into it. So I think primarily often we just get it skewed around. So I'd really encourage you, if you're a bit obsessed with losing weight, actually start to change that focus and begin to pursue health, overall health. How do you feel? I think asking ourselves the question of how do I feel as opposed to how much do I weigh is one of the most powerful and helpful questions we can ask ourselves. So I would encourage you, I grew up from being in this dieting culture of my main question was, how much do I weigh? How much have I eaten? How good have I been? Now that I've kind of got myself out of that indoctrination, my primary questions that I ask myself are, how do I feel? Do I have any unwanted symptoms going on in my body? So say bloating or acne or a rash, or, you know, at the moment I have hay fever, that's an unwanted symptom. Do I have any unwanted symptoms? And how do I feel? And am I eating foods that really nourish me? Those are the questions that I ask. Those are the things that are most important. I don't weigh myself anymore. I didn't weigh myself. Actually, my midwife weighed me when I first went to see her. So I kind of roughly know what I weighed-ish before I got pregnant. I'm not going to probably weigh myself. I might weigh myself just before I give birth, just to see. But I don't weigh myself on a regular basis, maybe once a year, maybe twice. I don't even really take measurements anymore. I don't count the calories of my food, not remotely. I rarely will count my macronutrients. Sometimes I might do that just to check in. Maybe a couple of times a year, I'll take a couple of days and just keep track of my protein, fat, and carbohydrate intake, just so I can work out what I'm doing optimally. Although I haven't been doing that since being pregnant, obviously, because I'm just eating the food. But I don't do any of those things because my primary focus is actually, how do I feel? What are the symptoms that I'm experiencing? Is there any unwanted symptoms that I'm experiencing? And how is my relationship with food? how am I obsessed with food? Is food contributing to my self-worth? Is how much I exercise contributing to how good I feel? These are the questions we need to ask ourselves. So if you really do just want to lose weight, you maybe have this history of dieting, then actually we've got to change our mindsets and start to kind of track our progress almost using different things, using different points of reference along the way. I think it's really unhealthy to focus on your weight, really unhealthy to focus on calories, really unhealthy to focus on weekly weigh-ins, because hormonally that does not make sense. What we want to focus on instead is, how do I feel? What are the symptoms? Is there any unwanted symptoms? And what is my relationship with food like? Because if you can focus on those things, then you will lose weight when you address those things. But it's not the primary focus. It actually becomes the secondary thing that happens. And that's what I see in my community, in my clients all the time, is that when we look at their symptoms, when we look at their health, if there is any weight that, you know, isn't helpful to their unique body, then it will start to fall off. And if there is, and if, you know, if I'm working with someone, they maybe don't lose weight because the extra weight on their body isn't inflammatory, it isn't problematic for them. So you can see the difference, but weight loss, I think, should never be the primary goal, because we get a bit obsessed with it. So even when I've had clients that have come to me, and that, to be fair, their primary goal is weight loss, what I end up doing is looking at all the other health issues connected to that. So often if people come to me and they've tried everything to lose weight and they really can't, it's not actually about necessarily just calories in or calories out. It's actually addressing some metabolic issues and syndromes that have happened in their body through years and years of dieting on and off and counting calories and sins and points. They've often damaged their metabolism, and what we need to do is really heal that. And when we can heal their metabolism, get their insulin management going, deal with any leptin resistance, all of these kinds of things, then actually they'll start to lose weight, if that makes sense. But the primary goal is still not them, you know, they're still not weighing themselves every week. So when it comes to weight loss, and you maybe are thinking, you know, Kezia, I think I do want to lose weight. I think it would help me to feel good. I don't want it to be the primary focus. I don't want to diet. I don't want to fat. I don't want to count calories. But I actually think intuitively with my body, I think I might feel better if I was a couple of pounds, a couple of stone, whatever, lighter. It might help my back, hormones, fertility, knees, whatever it is. Or, you know, maybe type 2 diabetes runs in your family and you really want to reduce that risk. Maybe certain cancers, you know, there's a hereditary, you know, people in your family have had that, whatever it is. What do you focus on then? Because this is a confusing thing. Women then get totally confused and of knowing actually what to do, what to focus on. I can't tell you how many messages I have from people when they'll message me and they'll be like, Kezia, I've really been trying this whole foods, real food approach, you know, eating avocados, not eating low fat, eating whole foods, nothing processed, no Miller Lights. I'm not looking at calories, I'm not counting macronutrients, I'm not counting sins, I'm not counting points. But they'll message me to be like, I'm really tempted to join Slimmer's World or Weight Watchers or whatever the group is. And they are in this conundrum because they really do want to lose weight, but then finding whatever they're doing is not working for them. And they're just really tempted to go back to Slimming World, go back to Weight Watchers, go back to whatever they did years ago, even though it didn't work for them then, and somehow they think it's going to work for them now. Anyway, because they're really attracted to that structure, to that accountability, to that promise and marketing of those industries that are really good at, you know, marketing themselves. And I get messaged this a lot. I'd probably say at least a couple of times a month where people are like, what do I do? Should I just join Slimming's World again? Should I just join Weight Watchers again? You know, I've done Whole30, I've done gluten-free, I've done all of these kinds of things, and it's just not working. So what is the one thing you want to focus on? What are the things that, if you really want to see a shift in your weight, where do you begin? Well, I think the biggest thing is that we've got to get our head around is that we've got to create a lifestyle shift. So the biggest problem, I think, with different dieting clubs and dieting culture in general is that it encourages you to be on or off something. You are on a diet or you are off a diet. You are being good or you're being bad. You are on the wagon or you are off the wagon. And that is the first thing we need to address. If you want to be healthy and maintain a healthy weight, you actually need to change your lifestyle. And that's not the most comfortable thing to hear, because let's be honest, you'd rather just me tell you do this thing for 6 weeks and everything in your life will be fine. But you, if you actually truly want to lose weight and keep it off, which statistically we know from dieting clubs, most people who lose weight in these dieting clubs have put the weight back on and plus more weight within, I think it's 3 years. That was the paper I read. So statistically, they don't work. You don't keep weight off and it doesn't stay off. So if you actually want to A, lose weight, and B, keep it off, you've got to create a lifestyle shift. And that you, there's no secret way of eating necessarily that is going to help you to lose weight that's some sort of secret that you've not known about. It's actually about being willing to change aspects of your lifestyle. So whatever parts of your lifestyle that have contributed to you having excess weight, those are the things you need to address. So it might be the lack of sleep. That's a huge one. If you're not sleeping enough, you will really struggle to lose weight. It's just the way it is. It's how the body works, affects your insulin, all of these kinds of things. If you are stressed out of your nut, chances are you're going to really struggle to lose weight. If you don't prioritize your food, as in you never shop, you don't plan your food, you don't meal plan, you're not willing to invest money in decent food, you'd rather spend money on, you know, holidays or cars or clothes, then that's a lifestyle shift. You know, time, you know, you maybe think you don't have enough time. Actually, that's a belief that needs to shift in your lifestyle. So the first thing we want to look at is this lifestyle shift. And that's why I really run part of my my membership program, which is Nourish, because I totally accept that this is not just about a 4-week thing. Actually, we need ongoing support to make these lifestyle shifts. And I've recently been chatting to lots of people that are part of my group coaching program, group coaching membership called Nourish. And, you know, some of these members have been members for like 2 years now. And I spoke to a couple of them on the phone recently just to check in with how they're doing and how they find the membership and to get feedback, and because I'm always making it better and better. And it's been absolutely amazing to see them over time make these lifestyle shifts and for them to see how much they have changed in the last year, in the last 6 months, in the last whatever it is, because they've decided to make a lifestyle shift. And I think when it comes to weight loss, that is a thing you've got to focus on the most. You know, if you're an athlete, if you're looking to get to a certain body weight for a competition or kind of looking at body recomposition, then that could might be a different thing. You might go on a 4 or 6 week program that really looks at macronutrients, but I'm assuming most people listening to this aren't at that level. We're talking generally here about general health and weight. So that's the first thing. You've got to focus and accept that it's a lifestyle shift. And the next thing that's really part of that is that it's a lot of it comes down to mindset. And a lot of it comes down to what you believe about your body, what you believe about your food, and, you know, what you believe about your future. So mindset, I think, is really key. And if you have a toxic mindset, you can make anything unhealthy. You know, you can make the whole, I've seen so many people do the whole 30 program, which is like a whole foods based reset elimination program, which I think can be really helpful for certain people. But I've seen so many people do it with an unhelpful mindset, and it's just become another diet. It's just become another program. It's just become another wagon that they're on and off. It's just become another thing where they're good or bad, and they do it for 30 days and it doesn't impact their life at all. And they go back to the habits that they had before. So looking at your mindset, what do you believe about your body? What do you believe about your food? And what do you believe about your future is really, really important. And I think it's those aspects, the willingness to create a lifestyle shift and the willingness to do some of the mindset work and look at some of the core beliefs is one of the biggest things that are actually going to help you to see the results in your health. Because that was the problem with me growing up in the dieting culture. It was all about food, calories, sins, points, what am I eating, being good, being bad. I never looked at the mindset issue. So I ended up with a disordered eating approach. I never looked at creating a lifestyle. So it cultivated a binge-like mentality in me. When I was being good, I would eat really good. And when I was being bad, then I was just eating whatever I wanted and binging because I knew I had to like get back on track on Monday. And that is actually just super, super toxic. So if you really do want to lose weight, first of all, focus on making some lifestyle shifts and accept the fact that it is a lifestyle shift. And the second thing is really work on your mindset. You might need to go and get some counseling about it. If you've had big issues around food, I highly recommend going and seeing a therapist, a CBT practitioner, seeing someone around it. If you feel like your approach to food is disordered, go and see someone. And I think then it really is a case of looking at, pursuing health, making health your priority, because I've seen it time and time again, when you focus on your health, when you focus on how you feel, when you focus on, you know, addressing certain unpleasant symptoms, whether it's you have diarrhea or you have PCOS or you're bloated all the time or you're tired and fatigued, when you address those things, you'll find that as you heal and nourish and support your body into wholeness and balance, when you help the body to function in its most optimal and beautiful way, then your body will naturally self-regulate its weight and you don't actually even need to focus on it. You honestly don't. And that is so freeing. I cannot tell you, from someone who's really struggled with weight from a really young age. I was bullied from about age 7 for being overweight for about 5 years. I've always been very aware of what I weigh, always been told literally to my face, you know, and comment, my weight was something that was commented on from a very young age. And something that I was always made aware of. Actually, now it's not a primary focus in my brain. It doesn't take up a lot of space. It's not noisy because my pursuit is in health and I know my body will regulate itself. My weight will regulate after I've had this baby. I trust that my body's going to regulate itself. And if there is any issues, if I'm not, you know, if I am finding that I'm a couple of stone overweight than what I would like, then I know what my body's weaknesses are. I know to check in with my thyroid. I know to check in with my adrenals. I know what was going on with my body, and I'm not going to suddenly start counting calories. I'm going to start looking at supporting my thyroid. I'm going to get some blood tests done. I'm going to support my metabolism. And it's a totally different approach, and it's so much more freeing. Honestly, being chained to the scales is the most depressing thing ever, and thinking about every single calorie or every single piece of food or meal that you're going to eat, or if you should go to that hen do because you don't know if you're going to, you know, because of the calories in Prosecco. Oh, it's just exhausting, and it's a really boring way to live your life, I've found. So a lot of what this means actually is so much more freedom around food and around your body. So I hope this has been really helpful for you. I know it's not the most clear-cut topics, but I don't want to faff you around. I want to be really honest about the health impact, some of the research. I want to be honest about my thoughts on things. And my approach and experience with clients and with the people that I work with. But if you take one thing away from this, is that I would really love you to pursue health. I want you to feel good. Don't ask yourself what you weigh. Don't weigh yourself regularly. I really cannot understand why someone needs to weigh themselves every week. I just think it's completely pointless. There is absolutely no need to weigh yourself every week unless you're like an athlete or maybe you're underweight and you're looking to gain weight. There's no need to weigh yourself. Ask yourself, how healthy do you feel? How do you feel in general? And are there any unwanted symptoms that you would love to go away? And what's your relationship with food like? Those are the things I want you to focus on. Because when you focus on those things and you address those things, then, lovely, your body is just going to regulate itself. It will. It completely will. And you don't need to think about it. You don't need to worry about it. And wherever you're at now with your body, whatever you weigh, whatever size you are, whatever scars you have, whatever health issues you have going on, know that your body is beautiful right now. You don't lose weight to be more worthy. You don't lose weight to become more valuable. You don't lose weight to become more beautiful. You are those things right now. And the whole approach of pursuing health is that when you pursue health, your body shape will align with all those things that are already true. Weight loss is really just often about alignment. It's not about you becoming better. It's about your body shape aligning with who you inherently already are. You are already beautiful, just as you are. You don't need to be anything else. You don't need to be better. But I really want for you to feel awesome. I want you to feel your best, and I want you to live your most beautiful and most wonderful life. So that's why I talk about these topics. So if you want to know more information around hormones and gut health and mindset and body love, then do join me for the Beat the Bloat workshop, because I'm going to be talking about all those different things. We're talking about hormones, gut health and mindset and actually what to eat when it comes to dealing with your belly and loving your belly and creating a happier and flatter belly. So do make sure you join me for the Beat the Bloat workshop, because it's going to be so fun to have you there. If you have any questions around this topic, then do head to Facebook or Instagram. Both of them are at Supernaturally Healthy. And just ask me any questions. If I've triggered something off for you, just let me know. Or any other topics or questions you want to know. I love to hear from you guys. So do get in touch. Otherwise, have a brilliant day. Eat like you love yourself. And know that you are worthy and that you're enough and that you're beautiful, just as you are right now. Sending you lots of love and light and blessings and hugs and all sorts of goodness your way. And I'll see you next week for another Gut Goddess episode.